On today's show, we're heading into week number 9, and we have got the 10 biggest games that we got to make predictions on.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome in, Winning Cures Everything. It's a college football podcast. I'm your host, Gary Seegers, at GaryWCE on all the different socials. Not a great week last week, at least not on the 10 biggest games. Midweek games were good. Then the other games were hit or miss, one way or the other. Let me go ahead and give you the record thus far on the season. In the big games, 36-43-1 against the spread. In the other games, 86-79 against the number. That puts us at 122-122-1 against the spread in all the games that I have picked. That is 245 games thus far this year that I have made a prediction on. I'll say that. Made a prediction on. All right. Let's not spend too much time on this. Let's get to the games. Game number 1. South Florida going to Memphis. This one, 11 a.m. Central Time, God's time zone, ESPN2. Memphis loses to UAB, and they move this thing all the way over to ESPN2. Still a huge game in the AAC. Massive, massive game. And from what I can tell, College Game Day was going to be going to Memphis had they ended up beating UAB last week. Alas, it was not meant to be. South Florida is a 3.5 to 4 point favorite. That's a touchdown difference. Touchdown difference from where this line was last week. It opened up at a couple of different books early, and they had Memphis as a 3.5 point favorite. That's completely switched over. Total is 65.5, excuse me, on this. Memphis won this game 21-3 last year in Tampa. South Florida 0-4 straight up in Memphis, but they are 5-0 against the spread against the Tigers since 2003. South Florida 1-5 against the spread the week before a bye week. Memphis 7-1 straight up, 3-5 against the spread against South Florida since 2013. Very interesting. Very interesting. So, South Florida seems to always cover whenever they come to Memphis. Let's look at some of the numbers here. Stats projected spread still has Memphis favored by a little less than 1 point. Power rating, even after last week, still got South Florida favored by 1.2. Based on the last 4 weeks' numbers, it's got South Florida by 16. Now, I don't know that we're going to see something like that, but when you start looking at these stats, you know, South Florida number 15 in predicted points added margin, Memphis number 25, I do my best to weight these as much as possible, but South Florida has got the number 29 current strength of schedule, Memphis number 126. That is a chasm of a difference. I mean, it's just huge. So all of these numbers, we do what we can to try and play it out to see exactly what it is. But South Florida has been through the wars. Memphis has not yet. Doesn't necessarily mean that they can't win the game. But one thing to pay attention to with Memphis, not sure what's going on with the quarterback. You know, they brought in the freshman, A.J. Hill. He ended the game for Memphis. He drove him down the field against UAB. They had a chance to score. It had multiple penalties, which, You start looking at penalties per game, Memphis number 30, but they had three penalties late in that game, had a first and goal at the one-inch line, it looked like, and ended up 4th and 11. And so, or maybe it was just two penalties, but regardless. USF number 79 in penalties per game, both of these teams in the top 15 as far as turnover margin, both of them give the ball away some. South Florida number 91 in giveaways per game, Memphis number 54, both inside the top 11 as far as takeaways per game. South Florida's number 1 in takeaways per game, 2.43 turnovers generated per game. That's wild, absolutely wild. You start looking at five factors rank, South Florida number 13, Memphis number 35, five factors plus talent, South Florida number 20, Memphis number 55. Both teams are second-half teams. You look at first-half point margin, Memphis number 40, South Florida 48. Second-half point margin, Memphis number 2, South Florida number 7. Both of them seem to take over in the second half, is what it is. The South Florida offense likes to run the ball. 54-plus percent of the time, they are running the ball. Memphis is number 15 in PPA allowed per rush, number 37 in yards allowed per rush. They're pretty good against the run. On the other side, Memphis likes to run the ball as well. Number 28 in rush rate, over 56% of the time, almost 57% of the time, they're going to run the ball. Now, will that change if Brennan Lewis is not playing the quarterback? We'll see. But they run the ball a lot with Sutton Smith, Greg, it's not Rozier, but either way, they have got some crazy good running backs. South Florida, though, number 7 in PPA allowed per rush, number 23 in yards allowed per rush, number 33 in rushing success rate allowed, 21st in offensive line yards, etc. So South Florida defends what Memphis wants to do really, really well. Based on the talent, based on the strength of schedule difference, based on what these two teams have been doing, Memphis seems to always cover when they're a dog at home. This one feels different, though. I like South Florida here. I know that these particular stats say that Memphis should be able to cover 3.5 or 4 at home. Last week was a real gut punch. South Florida, it last 4 weeks, South Florida minus 16. We're going to go with the Bulls. Give me South Florida. Best number you can get right now is 3.5. I'll take it. I will lay the 3.5 with the Bulls. Saturday night, 6:30 p.m. Central Time. On ABC, Texas A&M goes down to the Bayou. They're going to Baton Rouge, and they are a 2.5-point road favorite. Total is 48.5 to 49.5, depending on the book. The Tigers, last week, they lose to Vanderbilt. A&M had a scare, of course, in Fayetteville. Weather was a bit of a weird thing there, but regardless, it is what it is. Looking at some of the trends, some of the notes here, 38-23 A&M win last year. That was in Kyle Field, of course. The Aggies 0-5-1 against the spread in Baton Rouge since 1994. Since 2021, A&M 4-11-1 against the spread on the road. The home team in this meet or in this series 4-1-1 against the spread in the last six. When I popped this into the machine, updated all the numbers, etc., you could have colored me completely shocked when I saw what popped out here. Projected stat spread has LSU favored by 0.19 points, has them winning the game 26.36 to 26.17. The implied score from the sports books is 25.5 to 23 in favor of A&M. My projected total has it going over the 48.5, 52.5 is what I've got for a total. Last 4 weeks, though, it's got A&M by 9.85. So, and the last 4 weeks number is based only on stats from the last 4 weeks. So, we see what these two teams have done. LSU, that offense has not been clicking. They cannot run the ball to save their lives. They are just atrocious at it. Number 94 in yards per rush. Number 96 in predicted points added per rush. Number 112 in rushing success rate. A&M's defense, number 16 in rushing success allowed, but they are number 97 in PPA allowed per rush, number 71 in yards allowed per rush, and they are 134th in rushing explosiveness allowed. I found that interesting. And here's the thing. LSU doesn't really try to run very much. Number 121 in rush rate, so they are running the ball about 43% of the time. They are throwing it 57% of the time-ish. Teams are trying to throw the ball a lot on A&M. Now, part of that could be the fact that A&M, they're pretty good in the first half, right? Number 18 in first half point margin. So they are getting up on teams, and teams feel like they have to throw the ball to get into it. So is what it is. LSU number 23 in passing success rate, A&M number 28, A&M number 40 in PPA per pass. You know, LSU's offense number 58 in that. Can LSU's offense keep guys off of Garrett Nussmeier? They couldn't do it last week against Vanderbilt. Havoc rate allowed, LSU's offensive line number 92, A&M's defense number 11. They're going to sick them. They're going to get after the quarterback on this. A&M number 36 in PPA margin, but they've got the number 20 current strength of schedule. LSU's current strength of schedule number 22, and they are number 45 in PPA margin. Offensive success rate for both teams is outside the top 30. LSU's defense, for all the accolades that we have given them, only number 39 in defensive success rate. They are number 36 in PPA per drive, or PPA allowed per drive. PPA, of course, predicted points added. It's basically a value that is added to every drive or every play. So every play, LSU number 34 in PPA allowed. A&M's defense is number 69 in PPA allowed per play. Part of that is because they had to play Arkansas last week, and they played Notre Dame earlier in the year. So A&M, they're going to be able to run the ball, I think. We're going to see exactly what's going on with Moss. But they got Owens, and he had a big week last week. You're looking at field position. You're looking at third downs. You're looking at all kinds of different things. The third down percentage, or third down conversion percentage for A&M's defense is still number 2 in the country. They allow less than 23% of conversions on third downs. Not too shabby. LSU, number 54 in third down conversion percentage. They will have to do better at that. Five factors rank, there's not a huge difference between these two teams. A&M number 12, LSU number 20. You look at these and it's just interesting. A&M only 3-4 against the spread, even though they are undefeated. At what point is the real Texas A&M going to show up? Right? Like, nobody believes in this LSU team. Nobody. And yet my numbers are sitting over here yelling at me that I have to take them. I don't like that last 4 weeks number. Now, obviously LSU has been through a bit of a gauntlet, is what it is over the past 4 weeks. I want to go A&M, but you start looking at things like the home team being 4-1-1 against the spread in the last six in this series, A&M 4-11-1 against the spread on the road, the Aggies are 0-5-1 against the spread in Baton Rouge since 94. LSU is a wounded animal. Backs against the wall, and now you got a night game in Death Valley. I know A&M has been through some rough games. They played at Fayetteville last week, survived a tough one. They played at Notre Dame in week 3. They survived that one. I think I'm going LSU here. Backs against the wall. They didn't play well in Nashville. Vanderbilt's a good team, though. I think this is where A&M gets their first loss of the season. Give me LSU plus 2.5 at home. I think they can win the game outright.
Are you tired of sore knees or joints slowing you down? GoSleeves uses built-in kinesiology tape technology to give you support, reduce pain, and help you recover faster. Use code WCE for 15% off over at GoSleeves.com.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Hail Mary.
That's HIMS.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. HIMS.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to the channel, like the video, of course, jump in the comments. I want to know what your picks on these games are. Again, I'm 36-43-1, picking the biggest games every week. That ain't great. And it's against the number. I'm not trying to pick straight up. That's for pansies. I am looking to beat the number. So, let me know what your picks are. Of course, if you want these stat sheets along with my comparison tool, a bunch of other stats and whatnot, and my official plays every week, you can get those over at buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. There's a link in the description, so go ahead and check that out if you would. Game number 3, 11 a.m. Central Time, God's Time Zone, ABC, Ole Miss at Oklahoma. We're headed to Norman for this one. Oklahoma is a 4.5-point favorite, total of 52.5. Ole Miss won this game last year 26-14. This is just the third ever meeting between these two teams. Ole Miss 3-8-2 against the spread in their last 13 SEC road games. That's not good. I lost by half a point with them last week. I mean, just ridiculous. The Sooners held the Rebels to only 69 yards rushing last year. Ole Miss got the win, of course, because they Ole Miss got 10 sacks of Oklahoma last year. Different Oklahoma team this year. Oklahoma did look really good against South Carolina just last week on the road. Now they get to come back home. Ole Miss, second straight road game. Lost a heartbreaker to Georgia. Got outscored in the fourth quarter 17-0. Really thought they had that game. But alas, it is what it is. Now they're facing an even tougher defense than what they faced with Georgia. Oklahoma, number one in the country in PPA allowed per drive. Number one in PPA allowed per play. Number one in defensive success rate, and that is both against the pass and against the rush. This is a different beast for Trinidad Chambliss, and that might be putting it mildly. This number's out to 4.5. It opened at Oklahoma minus 3.5. My stats projected spread has Oklahoma minus 10.69. My power rating has Oklahoma minus 8.6, and my last 4 weeks has Oklahoma minus 19.33. This looks like a bad spot for Ole Miss. I'll readily admit that. Oklahoma, of course, lost Red River. You can kind of blame that on Mateer not having the zip on the ball, coming off surgery from 3 weeks earlier, all that kind of stuff. This Ole Miss defense cannot stop the run. Luckily for them, Oklahoma cannot run the ball. They're number 50 in rushing success rate. A lot of that has to do with the quarterback. They're number 77 in PPA per rush, number 114 in yards per rush, number 95 in offensive line yards, 89 in stuff rate, and they're only number 89 in rush rate, so they only run the ball about 49% of the time. Oklahoma's offense isn't exactly world beaters, though. Number 67 in PPA per drive, they are number 68 in yards per pass attempt, number 74 in QBR, they are 57th in passing success rate, but they are 31st in passing explosiveness. So they can generate some offense. They are number 56 in scoring opportunities per game. Ole Miss's defense, number 132 in scoring opportunities allowed per game. Points per scoring opportunity. Oklahoma can finish drives. They're number 44, 4.36 points every time they get a first down inside the opponent's 40-yard line. Ole Miss, number 55. They only allow 3.58 points every time somebody gets a first down inside their 40. The talent rank is negligible. This offense going up against Oklahoma's defense is going to be tricky. This is just teams throw the ball on Oklahoma over 51% of the time. Oklahoma number 3 in yards allowed per pass, number 5 in QBR, number 1 in passing success rate allowed, number 4 in passing explosiveness allowed, number 1 in havoc rate. If they can get after Trinidad Chambliss, which I think they'll be able to, they're going to be able to cause some problems. I feel like Ole Miss, everything is based on timing. If you can disrupt that timing, that offense isn't and you saw Washington State do this. They weren't exactly ready for what Washington State was doing. Now, you start looking at points per scoring opportunity. Ole Miss is number 11 there. They average 7.14 drives that get a first down inside the opponent 40. Oklahoma is number 5. They only allow 3.43 drives like that per game. Oklahoma number 3 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. This is going to be an interesting game. Five factors rank the most important statistics as far as winning a football game. Oklahoma is number 9 in raw five factors. Ole Miss is number 44. It's a huge difference. So while Ole Miss was able to go to Georgia and really make it a ball game, I don't think they're going to be able to do the same thing against this Oklahoma defense. Oklahoma's got a better quarterback, but not a better offense than what Georgia has. I look at this, both teams are outside the top 109 as far as turnover margin. Oklahoma a little bit better as far as penalties. You start looking at net explosiveness, Ole Miss significantly better as far as explosiveness is concerned. I'm going to trust my numbers here. I think this is a bad spot for Ole Miss. I'll take Oklahoma laying the 4.5. We didn't get the best of the number, but I'll go with the Sooners. Sooners minus 4.5 at home. Game number 4, 2:30 p.m. Central Time on ABC. Alabama goes over to Columbia, South Carolina to take on the Gamecocks. Bama is a 13.5-point road favorite, total of 47.5. This game was 27-25 last year in Tuscaloosa. Bama was a 21.5-point favorite and had to hang on for dear life and not allow a 2-point conversion from Lenore Sellers late in that game. This is the first time that they are meeting in Columbia since 2019. Bama, 4 straight wins over ranked teams. That is the first time in history, in SEC history, that has happened without a bye week in the middle. So Bama, now in their 5th straight week without a bye week, they have had some tough games. South Carolina last year outgained Alabama 374-313 in the loss. South Carolina 6-2 against the spread their last 8 as a double-digit dog, but they have not won any of those outright since 2022. I think everybody remembers them just shellacking Tennessee and Clemson. They didn't shellack Clemson. Beat them 31-30 as a 14.5-point dog there. But they were more than a 3-touchdown underdog to a really good Tennessee team and just beat them like a drum. Spencer Rattler was the quarterback back then. Looking at some of the numbers, this number is 13.5 now. It was 10 early Saturday before the Alabama game, before the South Carolina game where they just got whipped by Oklahoma. You start diving into some of these numbers, and what Alabama gives up on defense does not match what they give up as far as yardage, right? They are number 22 in defensive points per game. They're only giving up 17.7 points per game. They are number 69 in defensive success rate. They're number 47 or 49 in defensive PPA allowed per drive. It doesn't always make sense. Bama number 92 in special teams efficiency. That's not good. Bama number 132 in third down attempts per game, but they're number 62 in third down conversion percentage. They're number 109 in fourth down conversion percentage. They're getting a first down on fourth down almost 65% of the time. That's crazy. So this Bama defense is not great. But at the same time, Mike Shula's offense in South Carolina is not doing very well. Number 114 PPA per drive on offense. Number 124 in offensive success rate. They're 128 with the pass. Number 126 with the rush. They're just not good. Number 105, offensive line yards running the ball. Number 132 in yards per rush. And you can say that South Carolina has been through a really tough schedule. Well, so is Alabama. South Carolina number 12, Alabama number 2. Where the game lines up on the schedule is kind of tough, right? Because Bama's been through four straight top 15 or top 20, whatever opponents, whatever you want to call Vanderbilt. Well, I guess they're now top 17, right? I guess that's the easiest way to put it. You start diving into these numbers, and it's just tough to figure out exactly where South Carolina is going to be able to stay in this game. South Carolina's on defense, number 105 in havoc rate. Alabama's number 11 in havoc rate allowed. The issue for Alabama is running the football. It has been all year. They are number 96 in rush rate. They only run the ball about 48% of the time, but they're number 104 in rushing success rate, number 122 in rushing explosiveness. They generate a running game through novelty, short passes, finding ways to maybe get the quarterback out of the pocket a little bit, you know, bubble screens, stuff like that, where you just find a way to get it outside of the line. Because the offensive line appears to be good. We can't really see that. I mean, they are number 59 in offensive line yards, number 42 in stuff rate allowed. But the running backs just, there's not much there. And I feel like they're talented there. They are number 25 as far as a position group at running back. South Carolina's linebacker is number 77. So maybe there is a route for Alabama to have some success on the ground here. They will be able to throw the football. They are number 27 in passing success rate, number 11 in passing explosiveness. South Carolina's defense, number 104 in both of those metrics. Like I said, havoc rate, South Carolina going to have trouble getting after the quarterback, it appears. On the other side, Bama's defense should be able to do a lot of stuff. They're not good at defending the run. Luckily for them, South Carolina can't run the football. So looking at what the numbers are, my projected total is 47.12. Well, total is 47.5. So it matches right up. Projected stat spread has Bama by 13.12. Very rarely do my implied scores match up pretty evenly with what we got, but that's what we're looking at. Alabama, a little over 30 points. South Carolina, 17. Very interesting. Last 4 weeks, it has Bama by 10.37. Now, part of that has to do with the fact that Alabama has had some trouble, but they've played four straight ranked opponents, four straight top 15 opponents, or top 17, I guess. South Carolina has also played some really tough competition, but they haven't been able to do anything on them. I've got Bama power rated number 4 in the country. I've got South Carolina 51st. So this is a pretty good number here. My power rating has Bama by 11. I think where it falls on the schedule and the fact that South Carolina, not just wounded animal mode, like this team may already be a carcass, we'll have to see. But looking at all the different things about this, five factors rank, South Carolina raw five factors is number 95, Alabama's number 5. But based on where it falls on the schedule, I'm going to take South Carolina to cover the 13.5. They're at home. This is a week before Bama's bye week, and then Alabama's got LSU and Oklahoma after that. South Carolina needs this one, so I think they're going to put up a fight. And this may be one of those where, yeah, maybe try and win this one for the offensive coordinator if they care about him at all. You know, Mike Shula, formerly the head coach at Alabama before Nick Saban got there. But boy, South Carolina has just been terrible on that side of the ball. Absolutely terrible. Number 128 in red zone conversion percentage. They're number 133 in penalties per game. They are number 107 in points per play. I mean, it's rough. You may be trying to figure out how in the world is South Carolina going to stay in this thing. Well, they still got talent. They're number 18 in overall talent rank. Bama is number 1. When you've been through four straight against ranked teams and you've beaten all of them, makes sense to kind of fall off a little bit. And Kalen DeBoer has a worse record against unranked teams at Alabama than he does against ranked teams. They are 7-1 against ranked teams. They are, 8-4 against unranked teams? I'm not saying Bama's going to lose, But the fact that this is in Columbia, etc., yeah, I will go with South Carolina. Give me South Kakalaka plus 13.5 at home.
Are you looking to catch your favorite team or concert live? Ticket Smarter makes buying tickets safe and simple. And with our promo code, you save big. Use WCE10 for $10 off an order of $100 or more, or WCE20 for $20 off $300 or more. Grab your tickets now at Ticket Smarter.
If you love losing big money, then boy, do we have the promo code for you. Enter code BIGBEAUTIFULBILL to unlock these awesome offers. You can buy a car for even more money than before, or watch your heat and electric bills skyrocket. It's exclusive for everyone, thanks to Trump's Big Beautiful Bill, which our Congressman Ryan McKenzie supported. So use promo code BIGBEAUTIFULBILL. Sit back and crack open a cold one, but just one, because that's all you can afford. Paid for by NRDC Action Fund.
Again, don't forget to check out bettingcfb.com, or if that link doesn't work, it's just buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. That's where you can get these stat graphics. That's where you can get all kinds of things over there. My official plays, just random stuff that I'm going to toss out to you every week, my comparison tool, etc. But go check it out. It's $5 a month, $50 for the year, and you are supporting the one-man operation here. I love doing this. I love talking college football. That enables me to continue doing it. Is what it is. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, and of course, jump in the comments. I want to know your picks on these. Your picks are probably better than mine at this point, but I do have fun with it, and I do research this stuff. As bad as my picks have been, I do dive into it, but whew, and I do watch. Some people have accused me of not watching. I watch. I got YouTube TV just so that if I missed a game, I can go back through key plays. I can see exactly what these lines look like. It's been very frustrating. Very frustrating this year. We'll say that. On to game number 5, 3 p.m. Central Time on ESPN2. Baylor heads to Cincinnati. That's right, we're getting to the Big 12 here. Cincy, a 5.5-point home favorite, total of 67.5. Whew. And that number has gone up. It opened at 66.5. It's now up to 67.5, but that 5.5 is still sitting steady. This is the second ever meeting between these two schools. The 2023 game that was in Cincy, Baylor won that one 32-29 as a 3-point dog. The Bears are now 3-0 against the spread in the Eastern time zone since 2023. So something to pay attention to. Don't know that it necessarily matters. It's only 3 games out of 3 seasons or whatever, but still. Baylor 18-9 against the spread as Big 12 single-digit dogs since 2018. They did not cover last week against TCU in that role. Cincy just 2-2 against the spread as a home favorite this year. They are 4-8 against the spread, their last 12 as a home favorite. Cincy, 5th straight game without a bye, and they play at Utah next week. So, bit of a scheduling spot here for Baylor is what it is. I will go ahead and tell you one thing that I do kind of like here is Cincy first half. Cincy number 11 in first half point margin. Baylor's number 84. When Baylor makes their runs, it seems to always be in the second half. They're number 55 in second half point margin. Cincinnati is number 68. So, is what it is. Cincy is 5-2 against the spread so far this season. Baylor 4-3 straight up, but 1-6 against the number. They have just not been. They have not covered at the rate that you would fully expect them to. They are still really good on offense, really good throwing the football. Defense, that leaves quite a bit to be desired here. Cincy, number 8 in PPA margin. Baylor, number 46. Since Cincinnati lost to Nebraska, they have won every single game since week 1 of the season. So they're kind of pulling in Alabama here. Now, granted, the strength of schedule, not quite the same. They're number 57 in strength of schedule. Baylor is number 65 in that. But Cincy, number 7. Brendan Sorsby is just, I mean, when you got a quarterback that's been around for ever, it helps. And Baylor, of course, has Sawyer Robertson. They are really good on offense as well, but they are not near the caliber that Cincinnati has been. Cincy number 7 in yards per pass attempt, number 5 in QBR, number 10 in passing success rate. Baylor's defense, number 83, 88, and 92 in those metrics. And the reason why teams are not throwing the ball more on Baylor, which they only throw it 44% of the time on Baylor's defense, It's because they run the ball on Baylor's defense. Baylor is number 93 in yards allowed per rush, number 97 in rushing success allowed, number 100 in offensive line yards allowed, number 122 in stuff rate. Cincinnati running the ball, number 5 in yards per rush, number 3 in rushing success, number 2 in offensive line yards, number 24 in stuff rate, etc. The offense is going to have success here. Absolutely going to have success. Now, when Baylor has the ball, number 41 in PPA per pass, number 46 in yards per pass attempt, number 48 in QBR, but they are number 11 in passing success rate. Cincy's defense, number 51, number 67, number 90, and number 76 in those metrics. So Cincy's defense, a little bit better than Baylor's defense, but not much. Baylor can have success here as well. You start looking at red zone conversion percentage, et cetera, at points per scoring opportunity, at all that kind of stuff. I don't like the fact that this is Cincy's sixth straight? What did I write down? Fifth straight game without a bye. I don't like that. But you look at, you know, points per scoring opportunity, stuff like that. Cincy is number 3 at scoring points every time they get a first down inside the opponent's 40-yard line. Baylor's defense is number 123. So when Cincinnati gets first down inside the 40, they are going to put up points. 5.23 points per drive, whenever they do that. Baylor, on the other hand, a little bit more of a tricky situation. They're number 53 in points per scoring opportunity. Cincy's defense is number 24. Interesting. Very interesting. Baylor, outside the top 120 as far as, or outside the top 125 as far as turnover margin, they are number 126 in giveaways per game. They are, let's see, number 70 in interceptions per pass attempt. They are number 119 in fumbles lost per rush on defense, so they can't generate turnovers. On offense, number 66 in interceptions per pass attempt, number 132 in fumbles lost per rush. They cannot hold on to the football for whatever reason. Both of these teams have a super fast pace. Cincy number 17, Baylor number 6. Curious what that's going to look like. My projected total on this is 61.5 points, so that is significantly under. But looking at the pace and everything, feels like this one should probably go over that total, just based on pace, just based on the fact that both of these offenses are probably going to be able to score here. My projected stat spread has got Cincy by 13. My power rating has Cincy by 8. The last 4 weeks has got Cincy by 14.8. Cincinnati is a good football team. Again, the schedule spot is weird. Cincy plays at Utah next week. This is the fifth straight game. Baylor had a bye right before TCU, so they're the more rested team. They're coming off of a loss. They got to have this one, all that kind of stuff. But man, paying attention to the numbers, looking at what these two teams are, it's not like Cincy has really gone through a gauntlet, right? They played UCF 2 weeks ago. They played Oklahoma State last week. I mean, they had third stringers in by middle of third quarter last week. So I think they're going to be somewhat rested. I will take Cincinnati here. I will lay that 5.5. I think the Bearcats are for real. Baylor is going to have some trouble, and I know that Baylor's going to try and keep it close, and when they'll put up some points. I just don't think they're going to put up nearly as many points as Cincinnati. So Bearcats minus 5.5. UCLA goes to Indiana, 11 a.m. Central Time on Fox. That's right, it's a 9 a.m. body clock game for UCLA. The Bruins riding a 3-game winning streak here. Indiana favored by 24.5. We got a total of 53.5 to 54.5, depending on the book, so it's gone up just a little bit. Indiana 42-13 winners in the Rose Bowl last year in this regular season meeting. UCLA, however, 4-0 against the spread in their last four against ranked opponents over the last 2 years. UCLA 11-6 against the spread as road dogs since 2020. Indiana 9-3 against the spread at home in their last 12 in this spot. So, here's what I need to know. I need to know, is Nico really, really hurt? Now, he came back in, led the game-winning drive against Maryland last week, right? But, I mean, it looked serious. And he was limping around even after the game when everybody was celebrating and whatnot. He was still favoring that leg. I'm curious. Is Nico going to play? Are they just going to sacrifice this game to save the rest of the season? We got to know. We got to know what's going on here. If he plays and is less than 100%, 24.5, it feels like a lot. There's a lot of people that are riding on UCLA right now because of this. Indiana did not cover at home last week against Michigan State. They still blew them out. It was 38-13, but they were 26.5-point favorites, I believe it was. So something to pay attention to. Indiana has just been rolling teams, rolling them lately. My power rating has Indiana by 22. My projected stat spread has Indiana by 29.37. My last 4 weeks has Indiana by 19.72. So 19.72 and the power rating would have it a play for UCLA. But this being a 9 a.m. body clock game, I know they looked better against Michigan State. I know. But that was Michigan State. This is Indiana. Indiana is at home on Fox. They are still looking for respect. Kurt Cignetti does not like when his team does not play well. And that doesn't matter if you win by 25 or what. But UCLA presents a bit of a challenge for them, if only because they've got some hype. And if you beat this team to death, the national media will say, UCLA was riding a 3-game winning streak and da 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 da. So this will be one where they actually put in some effort, I believe. This is an interesting spot because Indiana has played a tougher strength schedule, 17 to UCLA's 43. And UCLA has all of these terrible numbers from when they were bad earlier in the year. Indiana number one in the country in five factors rank. UCLA is number 107. How much of this is based on recent versus early in the season? Right? Because this UCLA team is completely different now that they've got Tim Skipper and Jerry Neuheisel running things. I still believe that Indiana likes to prove points, right? So we can look at UCLA as number 133 in penalties per game. Indiana's number 8. UCLA is number 81 in turnover margin. Indiana is number 10. You start diving into PPA margin. Indiana number 5, UCLA number 100. There are certain things that you cannot change, such as the fact that UCLA is still number 136 in rushing success rate allowed on defense. They are number 131 in offensive line yards allowed, number 133 in stuff rate allowed. The defense has improved some, but this Indiana beast is different, absolutely different than what they've had to deal with thus far. On offense, UCLA can run the ball a little bit. They're number 18 in PPA per rush, number 35 in yards per rush. They're number 30 in rushing explosiveness, number 43 in rushing success rate. But Indiana, again, different deal. Number 21 in PPA allowed per rush, number 16 in yards allowed per rush, number 9 in rush rate, number 6 in rushing success allowed, number 10 in offensive line yards allowed, number 2 in stuff rate, et cetera, et cetera. This Indiana team is really, really good. And 24.5, it's through that key number of 24 that makes a lot of people say, I'm going to bet UCLA here. I'm going to, 100%. If I'd had 24.5 last week, Indiana would have covered. Instead, it was a 26.5-point spread, and they only won by 25. I think Indiana is going to do, I think the score could be very similar to what it was last year, which was 42-13. I like Indiana here. Give me the Hoosiers, minus 24.5. You will very rarely find me betting against Indiana at home because of this. Cignetti is an absolute dog. I mean, he smoke him if you got him, right? Sig Vicious, whatever name you want to call him, this dude is unbelievable. And I think he'll show it again here. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing for UCLA. This is just a different beast, and it's a 9 a.m. body clock game. Give me Indiana minus 24.5.
Stop guessing and start winning. Stochastic provides advanced data and strategies for DFS players and bettors built by pros who know how to find edges. Click the link in the description and sign up today.
Again, subscribe to the channel, like the video, go check out buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. It's where you can get these sheets and whatnot. And let's keep it moving. College game day is headed to Nashville. Vanderbilt hosting Missouri. This is a top 15 matchup. Who would ever have seen that coming? I mean, my goodness. Vanderbilt, a 2.5 to 3 point favorite, depending on what book you got it. 51.5 to 52.5 for the total. And Missouri won this 30-27 in two overtimes last year in Columbia. It kind of let everybody know that, oh, this Vanderbilt team might be for real. I think that was the game right before the Alabama game for Vanderbilt last year. Anyway, Missouri has won 5 straight against Vandy. They've won 8 of 9, but only 2-5 against the spread against the Commodores in the last 7. Now, most of those were as a double-digit favorite. Now they find themselves in the underdog role. That's a bit of a different thing. Vanderbilt was 8-18 against the spread at home since 2021 coming into the season. They are 3-1 against the spread this year at home. Very interesting. All right, so as we said, this one, 2:30 p.m. Central Time on ESPN, by the way. This is not an ABC game, ESPN. Power rating, I've got Vanderbilt by 3. Projected stat spread, I've got Vandy by 3.41. Last 4 weeks, I've got Vandy by 2.58. And the line is sitting at Vandy minus 2.5 or minus 3. You could not get more on the nose as far as what this spread should be. I will tell you, though, that this total sitting at 51.5, I have a stats projected total of 65 in this game. Now, pace is certainly an indicator of why this thing would be at 51.5, because Vandy is at number 131, Missouri at number 64. As far as pace of play, like a plays per minute, basically. Okay, like I'm not sure what to make of this. I know that both teams are incredibly efficient on offense, so maybe that's why my total is way, way up there. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Vandy, number 4 in the country in PPA per drive on offense. Missouri is number 16 on offense. Missouri's defense, significantly better, number 14 in PPA allowed per drive. Vanderbilt is number 77 in PPA allowed per drive. Vandy, number 62 in defensive success rate, number 67 against the pass, number 62 against the rush. Missouri is number 2 as far as offensive success rate in passing the ball. They're number 14 running the football. So, interesting spot here for Eli Drinkwitz and company. They seem to always be able to find ways to win. I mean, at Auburn last week, certainly was the same thing. Vanderbilt seemed to have the game against LSU in hand pretty much the whole time. Missouri did not have the game in hand against Auburn. Auburn pried defeat from the jaws of victory. That's what we'll say. That seems to be a theme with Hugh Freeze's teams. Looking at Missouri on offense, number 56 in yards per pass attempt, number 47 in QBR. They are number 2 in passing success rate. Not explosive. They're number 22 in havoc allowed. Vandy's defense is number 104 in PPA allowed per pass, number 58 in yards allowed per pass, number 97 in QBR allowed, etc. But they are number 14 in havoc rate. So who's going to win that battle, right? Can Vandy get after the quarterback a little bit? Can they maybe Pribula is pretty good when he gets outside of the pocket. Can they make him insanely uncomfortable to where he turns the football over? Because they are number 110 in interceptions per pass attempt. Now, Vandy only number 93 in interceptions gained per pass attempt allowed, but is what it is. Vandy pretty good at stopping the run. Missouri is number 21 in yards per rush. Vandy's defense number 26 in yards allowed per rush. Very curious. Very curious here. You can throw the ball on Vanderbilt. I don't know if Pribula is accurate enough to be able to take advantage of that. Eli will be able to get some points here. I also believe that Tim Beck's offense is going to be able to get some points, even against a really good Missouri defense. Missouri's defense, number 15 in PPA per pass, number 10 in yards allowed per pass attempt, number 21 in QBR, number 9 in passing success allowed. Vandy is number 9 in PPA per pass, number 22 in yards per pass attempt, number 15 in QBR, number 1 in passing success rate. I mean, it's crazy. They only throw the ball 46% of the time. Now, as far as running, offensive line yards, number 21 for Vanderbilt's offense, number 38 in offensive line yards allowed for Vandy or for Missouri's defense. You know, you're looking at rushing explosiveness. Vandy is number 15. Missouri is number 51 in explosiveness allowed. Vandy number 7 in rushing success rate. Missouri number 30 in rushing success allowed. You start diving into this, and, you know, Vandy is number 7 in five factors rank. Missouri is number 21. You know, point margins, both teams seem to be better in the second half. Both teams only 2 losses against the number so far this year. They're both 6-1. Vanderbilt, the biggest problem that they have is the overall talent rank. But you were talking about a roster that is absolutely loaded with senior experience. And in a lot of cases, 5th, 6th, 7th year senior guys. I mean, it's bananas. But these are all guys that understand the system, that know exactly what they're doing. Missouri, not so much that, but they do have more talent than what Vanderbilt has. This game being in Nashville, Diego Pavia getting a spotlight. This feels like the stars have aligned. You don't hear Clark Lee's name being bandied about for the Florida job, for the Penn State job, etc. Matt Rhule's name was being brought up for the Penn State job, and they went out and got absolutely hosed by Minnesota on the road. Now Missouri's going on the road. Eli Drinkwitz, his name is suddenly popular down in Gainesville. It's suddenly popular in State College. What does that do to this team? You could flip a coin here, and I would feel just as good explaining either side of this. I think Vandy's going to win. I think Vandy's going to cover. Vandy minus 2.5, that's the direction that we are going for show purposes. But I will guarantee you, I ain't dropping a dime of my money betting on this game. But as far as the show goes, Vanderbilt minus 2.5 is how we're going. 2:30 p.m. Central Time on the Big Ten Network. Of course, that's God's time zone. Illinois goes to Washington. That's right, Big Ten matchup here. Washington 4.5 to 5.5 point favorite, depending on the book. Total of 55.5 to 56.5. It's moving around a little bit. I've got a projected total of 55 on this, just so everybody sees it on your screen up there. This is the first ever Big Ten meeting between these two schools. Last meeting was a 44-19 Washington win in Seattle back in 2014. Illinois, in road games, under Brett Bielema, they are 17-5 against the spread. Illinois is coming off of a bye. Of course, Washington lost last week at Michigan. Now they get to come back home. Washington 6-4 straight up, only 4-6 against the spread. Their last 10 before a bye week, and boy, Washington could really use it. They are a little bit banged up. This number opened 3.5. It has jumped out to 4.5, jumped out to 5.5 in some spots. There's a lot of love for Williams and what Jed Fish and them are doing. Jed Fish, another one of those coaches that is being talked about as far as the Florida job is concerned. I don't know that that's necessarily going to change anything for them, but still, big strength of schedule discrepancy here. Washington has lost to the two best teams that they have played already. They are number 42 in strength of schedule. They lost at Michigan. They lost at home in really non-competitive fashion against Ohio State, but I kind of think everybody's going to be non-competitive against Ohio State. Regardless, Illinois also not very competitive against Ohio State. They had them at home as well. And Illinois also lost to Indiana. So both teams have 2 losses. Washington 3-4 against the spread. Illinois is 5-2 against the spread. Illinois a little more battle-tested. They're number 4 in current strength of schedule. Had to play at Duke. Had to play at Indiana. Just is what it is. Is what it is. I'll say that. Illinois' defense, in the games that they lose, has just gotten demolished. I mean, they are number 122 in predicted points added allowed per drive. They are number 117 in defensive success rate allowed, number 131 against the pass as far as passing success. Their secondary is still just beat up. Is what it is, right? Washington, number 24 in PPA per pass, number 13 in QBR. They are number 7 in yards per pass attempt, but they are only number 80 in passing rate. They only throw the ball about 47% of the time. So maybe that'll be good for them. For Illinois, I mean. Illinois stopping the run, here and there. Washington, number 46 in yards per rush. Illinois is number 65 in yards allowed per rush attempt. Number 11 in rushing success rate for Washington. Illinois is number 84 in that. Illinois does not allow a lot of explosive runs. It's just that you can consistently get yardage on them. That's why their rushing success rate is number 84. So, on the other side, though, boy, they can sling that rock around. They throw the ball. I mean, they're almost perfectly balanced as far as running and passing. Luke Altmyer has been awesome. Again, I've mentioned it on the show earlier. When you've got 50-year, 60-year quarterbacks that have been around for a long time, they're just smarter with the football. Illinois, number 14 in the country in interceptions thrown per pass attempt. They don't turn it over very much. They're number 22 in the country in giveaways per game. They are number 32 in turnover margin. Washington is number 46 in turnover margin. Not great at takeaways, but they're, you know, tied with Illinois as far as giveaways per game. Less than one giveaway per game they average. This Washington defense, interesting spot, right? Number 42 in yards allowed per pass attempt. Well, Illinois is number 11. And Illinois is number 9 in QBR allowed, in QBR, and Washington is number 60 in QBR allowed. Teams are throwing the ball all over Washington. They throw it almost 59% of the time on this defense, and that's because Washington is pretty decent against the run. Number 37 in rushing success, number 22 in rushing explosiveness allowed, number 37 in PPA allowed per rush. Illinois, number 116 in PPA per rush, number 122 in yards per rush, and yet they still run the ball almost 50% of the time, 49.42%. They're going to continue to do that. But where they're really going to make their hay is throwing the football, especially against a team that's number 119 in havoc, number 97 in passing explosiveness allowed, number 97 in passing success rate allowed. Yeah, this you should be able to see some points here. Washington is number 29 in five factors rank. Illinois is number 22. This is not a late night game out west, and typically teams do worse when they go from the West Coast out east for like early games. I think Illinois's got a shot here. There's, for whatever reason, this number has gone up. One thing I do like to pay attention to, Washington number 115 in SP Plus special teams efficiency. Illinois is number 16 here. Washington does have the more talented roster. Illinois, though, even though, you know, my number here is Washington power rated 2 points better. Stats projected spread has Washington by 5.63. The last 4 weeks, I've got Illinois favored by 4.5 points. This thing moved immediately. Washington minus 3.5 all the way out to Washington minus 5.5. I don't think I'm buying it. I will go Illinois. I will trust that 17-5 against the spread record on the road for Brett Bielema. I will stick with Illinois. Illinois plus 5.5. I think this is going to be a tight, tight ball game. Give me the Illini to cover that number.
Why struggle doing everything yourself? On Fiverr, you can hire professionals for just about anything. Marketing, editing, design, and more. Save time, get it done right. Click the link in the description to get started.
Last two games we're talking about, and of course, don't forget, subscribe to the channel. Like the video, jump in the comments, give me your picks. And of course, join us, join the community, support the show. Buymeacoffee.com/winningcures at $5 a month, $50 for the year. You get all these stat sheets for every game on the board, along with my comparison tool for hypothetical matchups, etc. Whatever you would like to do, go on and check it out over there. Buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. 2:30 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone on Fox. BYU is going to Iowa State. And this is a team that BYU has never beaten in their history. 5-0 straight up is Iowa State against the Cougars. In 2023, Iowa State won this matchup 45-13 in Provo. Now, that was a bad BYU team, I will admit. BYU, this is their first visit to Ames since 1974. BYU, sixth straight game, and they've had four road trips. This is the fourth road trip in 6 weeks for them. And it is the week after the Holy War, which Utah, we'll get to them in a little bit, but they typically have problems with this. BYU was kind of hit or miss whether or not they're going to cover the week after the Holy War. Iowa State is coming off of a bye week. Iowa State 0-4 against the spread as a home favorite against ranked opponents under Matt Campbell. And here they are again. Iowa State minus 2.5 at home against BYU. Total of 49.5. Against most teams, having both of your starting corners out for the year would be a major issue. BYU, when they have the football, they only throw it about 39% of the time. They're number 99 in passing success rate, number 72 in PPA per pass. It's a freshman quarterback on the road. Now, granted, they are 7-0 straight up. BYU is doing what they do, right? But they are on the road. It is the sixth straight week. They are beat up. And Iowa State, surprisingly, has more talent than BYU. Maybe not in the trenches, but I think they are pretty close. BYU number 73 offensive line against Iowa State number 88 defensive line. Iowa State number 45 offensive line against the number 90 defensive line, but I don't know that I necessarily trust that. That's got a lot to do with recruiting rankings and experience, etc. We'll see. Let's take a look at this. My numbers have BYU minus 3.43. My power rating has BYU minus 1.5. My last 4 week stats has BYU minus 3.5. And yet Iowa State is favored by 2.5. Now, some of that has to do with the schedule spot. Iowa State coming off of a bye, BYU playing their sixth straight game. And if, of course, it's the week after the Holy War. That one is always tough. BYU has had some absolute gauntlet games. BYU strength of schedule, number 86. Iowa State, number 51. Now, my projected numbers are opponent adjusted. So we should be looking at a number that it weights it evenly, right? Should be. My total on this is 51, by the way, so I've got it going over the 49.5. Campbell is just awful in these spots against ranked teams and whatnot, especially when you've got a spread that is anywhere from plus 3 to minus 3. He's just routinely been bad in those positions. Every number I've got says the BYU should be favored here, and yet they're not. And I think that all has to do with the fact that Iowa State is coming off of a bye and BYU is in their sixth straight game. I think I've said that 3 times already, and we've been talking about this for like, what, a minute and a half? But it's huge. Schedule spot is everything in some of these spots. BYU, 5-2 against the spread. Iowa State is 3-2-2 against the spread. Five factors ranked BYU is number 30. Iowa State is number 36. You start looking at things like points per scoring opportunity. You know, BYU gets down there a lot. They're number 5 at first downs inside the opponent's 40. 7.29 drives per game that they get a first down inside the opponent 40. But they're number 64 in points per scoring opportunity. So only 4 points per drive when they get down there. Settling for a lot of field goals. That ain't great. That ain't great. Iowa State, on the other hand, they are number 16 in scoring opportunities per game. 7 drives per game that they get a first down inside the opponent 40. But they are actually worse than BYU. Number 74 in points per scoring opportunity. And BYU is number 41 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. So I think we're going to see some field goals. I think we're going to see some interesting things here. This one is probably going to be tight right down to the wire. But I do like this BYU defense. I do think that Iowa State is going to have some tricks up their sleeve. But BYU just continues to find ways to win games. And I am certainly not going to bet against them. So I will go with BYU here to carry it on, to continue on heading into their bye week, because boy, do they need one. 4th road trip in 6 weeks. I mean, that's crazy. They've been all over the place. Started in East Carolina. Just nuts. Yeah, all of my numbers say BYU should be favored. Why not? BYU plus 2.5 on the road in Ames. And the last game, 9:15 p.m. Central Time on ESPN. Colorado goes to Utah. That's right. The Utes lost in the Holy War last week. They've got Utah favored by 14.5 here. Total is 50.5 to 51.5, depending on what book you get it at. My projected total is 48.6. And yes, I know that you don't end a sentence with a preposition. My apologies. I am from Mississippi. That's the way it goes. All right. 49-24 win for Colorado in this matchup last year. Utah has won 11 of the last 13 against the Buffalo. Last four after the Holy War, Utah is 0-4 against the spread. Colorado is coming off of a bye. Colorado is 0-6 straight up, but they are 4-2 against the number since 2011 in Salt Lake City. Colorado 7-0 against the spread, their last seven after a bye week. Colorado has a stronger strength of schedule than Utah. Number 45, current strength of schedule. Utah, number 72. When Utah plays bad teams, they absolutely thrash them. So the question here is whether or not Colorado is going to be a bad football team. My power rating has Utah minus 13. My stats projected spread has Utah minus 4. And my last 4 week stats have Utah minus 10.74. Colorado's numbers ain't good. Ain't no way to sugarcoat that, right? Like, it's number 112 in offensive success rate, number 111 in defensive success rate. They are 57th in PPA per drive. That's predicted points added. They are number 95 in PPA allowed per drive. Utah is number 5 on offense and number 12 on defense in those two metrics. They are number 7 in offensive success rate, number 13 in defensive success rate. They are really, really good. However, they're not very explosive, and there are certain limitations to this offense with Devin Dampier if the Colorado defense can actually get after him a little bit. They have not shown the ability to really be able to do that, and yet they have found themselves in some ball games that maybe they shouldn't have been. Talent rank, Colorado number 35, Utah, number 36. Utah defense is really good, but they're not great against the rush. Teams only throw the ball 45% of the time on Utah, and that's because they're number 2 in PPA allowed per pass, number 14 in yards allowed per attempt, number 11 in QBR allowed. Well, Colorado is 54, 46, and 56 in those metrics there. So they're better at passing the football than they are at running it. Colorado number 123 in rushing success rate. Utah is number 38. Utah, though, number 75 in yards allowed per rush, number 103 in rushing explosiveness allowed, number 47 in offensive line yards allowed, etc. If you're going to get Utah, you got to do it on the ground, it appears. I don't know if Colorado can do that. So when I look at this, I mean, power rating makes sense. Utah minus 13? Sure. My stats projected spread does not make sense. Utah minus 4.36. It's got an implied score of Utah 26.48 to Colorado 22.12. And whenever I see something like this, typically I go the opposite direction. And I think, okay, well, Utah is favored by this many for a reason, etc. Utah's stats do look great, but remember that strength of schedule difference. Now, these numbers are supposed to be weighted. I think that strength of schedule makes a difference as far as the final score is concerned. I'm going to go with Colorado plus the 14.5. That's a weird number, I know, but again, schedule spot, week after the Holy War, emotional loss for Kyle Whittingham and that bunch. Colorado coming off a bye week. I'm certain that they are going to have something drawn up here. I will take the Buffs. I'll take Coach Prime and company. I think even on the road, they will be able to keep this thing at least relatively close. Give me Colorado, plus 14.5. All right, one last time, buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. $5 a month, $50 for the year if you want to support the show. I would certainly appreciate that. You can also support it without money. You can subscribe to the channel, like the video, of course, watch the videos and whatnot, and jump in the comments. That helps out as well. I like talking to you guys as much as I can. I do this for fun. I really love talking about college football. It's a good time. I've got 3 kids. I have a full-time job. I have friends. You know, I've got a significant other. I've got all these things. It's tough to do this every week, but I love it. I love this sport. I love talking with you guys. It's a lot of fun. All right, recap. South Florida minus 3.5, LSU plus 2.5, Oklahoma minus 4.5, South Carolina plus 13.5, Cincy minus 5.5, Indiana minus 24.5, Vandy minus 2.5, Illinois plus 5.5, BYU plus 2.5, Colorado plus 14.5. Again, on the year, it's not been great. 36-43-1 in big games, but in all of the other games that I've picked on this channel, 86-79. So we're at 122-122-1. Let's see what happens this week. Let's see. All right, you guys have been fantastic. I appreciate all of you. I just noticed that my hat is coming through my green screen here. That's funny. That's funny. What a way to end this thing. All right, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football, and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week. Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Subscribe, leave a review or comment, follow at GaryWCE on X, and check out the web store.
If you love losing big money, then boy, do we have the promo code for you. Enter code BIGBEAUTIFULBILL to unlock these awesome offers. You can buy a car for even more money than before, or watch your heat and electric bills skyrocket. It's exclusive for everyone, thanks to Trump's Big Beautiful Bill, which our Congressman Ryan McKenzie supported. So use promo code BIGBEAUTIFULBILL. Sit back and crack open a cold one, but just one, because that's all you can afford. Paid for by NRDC Action Fund.